Anson Carter will join us here in a moment, the NHL on TNT. He spent some time in Edmonton. He's familiar with that market. Jerseys being thrown on the ice last night. Does that mean anything? Like, I saw Brad Marchand was tweeting about it. Like, Brad Marchand, man, he loves chiming in.
Yeah,
about
what's
everything.
All of a sudden, he's like the social media guru.
Yeah.
Which I love it. Like, did you see heading off the ice, he grabbed somebody's phone and, like, took
it
into
the
room?
The thing that bothered me is, like, when he grabbed the phone, he goes, hey, I thought he was going to say, hey, it's Marshy. And he goes, it's BM63.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're good, but you're not that good to be calling yourself BM63. Like, you're just not. You're not Michael Jordan. You're not MJ. You're Brad Marchand, number 63. Like, you're really good. You're going to be a Hall of Famer, but you're not BM93 or 63.
Yeah. I didn't hear the audio. I just saw the video of him taking it, which I think is cool. But, yeah, Spit and Chicklets guys posted something about the Oilers and the struggle and people throwing jerseys on the ice. And Marchand responded by saying, and fans will wonder why McDavid and Draisaitl don't sign back there again, which we had this conversation earlier in the week. I think that's a completely bogus argument. You know, how about the fact that the team's terrible right now? Like, that's the guy, someone throwing it on a jersey on the ice. That's it. Can't possibly come back. But Koskinen, if he returns, I'm 100% in. Do we have Anson Carter on the line?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay, here's Anson Carter from the NHL on TNT. Longtime NHLer, Toronto guy, but also played out in Edmonton. How you doing, Anson?
First of all, O-Dog, quit being a grump. I love BM63. I am all in for that. Other than that,
really?
I'm doing great.
Really? What does he have? Is there Nike shoes called BM63s or what? Come on, man.
You're talking to a guy that had, instead of the SL55, I had it converted to an SL77 with Louis Vuitton interior. My guys at West Coast Customs used my car to get Pimp My Ride.
There you
so
go.
I'm all about that stuff.
I remember that, actually.
That was like a story that kind of blew up behind the scenes in the league. I remember that.
I took the limiter off the engine and the governor off. I had 800 horsepower under that hood. So I was just crushing Lamborghinis and Ferraris going down the 405 to practice.
I'm just going to be O-Dog 92. That's just who I am. That's it. That's all I'm going by.
What do you make of BM63's tweet that Draisaitl and McDavid will not be able to handle the idea of someone throwing a jersey on the ice?
You know what? It happens. I don't think that's the reason why. I listened to you guys before I got linked in here. That's not the reason why they leave Edmonton, because a couple jerseys get thrown on the ice. I think they're frustrated. The fans are frustrated. I played in Edmonton, and it's a fun market to play in. And the fans aren't easy, but they're passionate, and they love the game. And I think as a player, O-Dog, you can speak to this, and same with you, Noodles. You guys play in Canadian markets. I think it drives you as a player to be better. And it should be driving the organization to be better, too. They just haven't made the right decisions. And I don't care, Noodles. That goaltender can't stop the puck. I know he says that he can't score goals early or either. But if you're letting in goals earlier at inopportune times during the hockey game, it just sucks the life out of the bench. So if he's going to chirp and say, hey, I can't score, at least try to steal a game for the boys. And he hasn't done that yet.
I agree with you. You know, we've had that conversation, and you know, you go back over their last 15 games. I did the statistic, and I know it doesn't just mean everything because there's quality of chances you give up. But they're averaging 85% stops. You know, you're getting 85% goaltending right now as far as save percentage. Like, that's not good enough. And you mentioned something, and that's what I've been saying on this show. The confidence of the group is different when you don't trust what's going on in the net. And that's what I see right now.
Oh, I remember playing against, and you guys played against these Buffalo Sabres teams. Like, they were okay teams. They weren't unbelievable Stanley Cup winning teams, but the dominator was the net.
Oh, yeah.
And that team played with so much swag and confidence. They weren't afraid to turn the puck over because they knew number 39 was going to make some acrobatic save and, you know, pull the puck out of his rear end and make that stop. And I'm just not seeing that with the Oilers right now. They're playing with no confidence whatsoever. I mean, they had tons of rubber they shot against the Florida Panthers, and they got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, that was it got away from them quickly last night. Barkov made it 3-0, and the lights were basically turned off. And McDavid and Draisaitl, you know, McDavid's pointless in three straight. Didn't speak to the media after the game last night. Like, it does, he's far, far down the list of issues. But if he's your captain in the the face of your franchise. I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest he's got to bring more. Like, he isn't playing as well as he can play right now.
He does. He does. Gretz made a great point in the studio, and he was wondering, is he tired? Is he mentally? I thought he could be mentally fatigued from what's going on right now. But Gretz was saying when he watches him, he thinks he's tired when he doesn't have the puck. And you watch Leon Draisaitl when he's tired, it's almost like he's got a piano on his back. And both those players aren't playing the same kind of hockey that they started the regular season. And granted, their power play hasn't been clicking. And when things are going your well and you're getting your cookies in the power play, the game starts to slow down for you. But you have to wonder if those players are playing all those minutes in the first period because they're so relied on heavily, if it's starting to wear on them a little bit.
AC, we're in a market and in a world now in sports where guys can just wake up and say, you know what, I want to play somewhere else. Do you think if this keeps going south and they possibly miss the playoffs, that one of the two might just say, you know what, it's time for me to play somewhere else?
I think if Leon keeps getting those verbal jousting matches with the media, I think he might be the guy that wants out first, other than Connor. But I can see that. It's very conceivable that at some point they're going to decide, because they made the financial commitment to the Oilers signing long-term deals, but the Oilers haven't done a good enough job putting a quality team around them. So, yeah, O-Dog, I definitely do see that happening at some point if they continue to go in this direction.
Chatting with Anson Carter, former NHLer, the NHL on TNT analyst. The Leafs obviously have been blowing leads recently, and the other night Sheldon Keefe came out postgame and said his team looked soft and played without purpose, and he kind of walked it back today after practice. He said, I want everyone to know, like, I fully believe in this team and believe in where we're going. But those are harsh words, man. Soft in particular is a tough word. What do you expect that team, the Leafs, to look like tomorrow night in response?
You want to see a big-time pushback. I think the Rangers make a lot of teams look soft, though. When you've got a guy like Ryan Reeves on your bench. Like, I was watching that game, and there wasn't that much pushback from, you know, the players out of the roster. Like, Wayne Simmons, physical player. Wayne's tough, the Wayne train. And, you know, you see players like Kyle Clifford, who plays a physical brand of hockey, too. But there wasn't much after the whistle when you're playing against the Rangers. And that's because number 75 is sitting on the bench, and not too many guys want to tangle with a player like that. And you wonder why more teams don't have players like that on their bench. Calgary's another team that has Lucic on their bench as well. But I expect to see a major pushback from the Leafs. You never, ever like to hear your head coach calling you soft. Even the coach walks it back, and maybe Sheldon Keefe forgot what market he was playing in. But people are going to run with that sound bite,
right,
and the players will hear that over and over again. So I definitely expect the players in that room to respond.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of heavyweights, there's been some big fights in the NHL recently. Like, it seems like every night there's a couple of boys.
Colorado's got a dude that's just mangling people, that McDermott guy.
Yeah, he's not shy. Yeah, he's a mutant, but he's like, he gets out there and he's not shy to drop the gloves, but he does it with a purpose. Like, it's not, I don't think they're all staged fights. It's like, hey, I'm going to play this way. I'm going to stand up for my teammates. And we have seen a little bit of irritability around the league right now. It might just be that time, guys are kind of mid-season where guys are getting frustrated within the game.
Yeah, these are the dog days. January, yeah. The dog days roll around where guys get a little frustrated and a little ornery a little bit out there. But, yeah, McDermott, he was throwing haymakers, and I love the way he was calling off the ref, too. Like, hey, we're not done yet. Just stay on the sidelines there, enjoy the fight. And both those big boys were connecting with haymakers. I mean, seeing those guys sitting in the penalty box icing down those knuckles and then the welts on their faces, I'm sure they weren't looking too pretty. Only their wives, their families appreciated the next day, because that was some bombs that were connecting.
There were. Then that hit by Wilson last night was a beauty. But because it's Wilson, you're like, all right, is the league going to look into this? That was clean and just a textbook hit, man. I loved that last night.
It was clean. I agree. It was clean. At some point, you got to keep your head up.
No kidding.
The game is going in a direction where we're talking skill, but you got to keep your head up, don't you guys think?
Oh, he literally had his head up his rear end, cut to the middle of the ice, and thought that nobody was going to touch him, and the boogeyman was standing there waiting for him and crunched him.
60% of the suspension, the guy's got his head right up his ass, staring at his pass or looking at the puck, and it's like, oh, you got to suspend that guy because he finished his check.
Well, I mean,
he's been hit before, but he won't be hit for that one last night. That was, That was a good hit by Wilson, and we'll see. It's going to be a fun night in the NHL tonight. Fun weekend, as always. It's great having you on, Anson. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime. Thank you.
There's Anson Carter of the NHL on TNT. Yeah.
I saw that hit live, and I was like, that is, you know, my thought process, okay, that's Tom Wilson. So let's go through the checklist. Is the head contacted? Is it late? Is it all, like, instead of being like, you know, this is a guy, a young kid who put himself in a tough position.
Right.
It used to be, and you guys can speak to this, is in certain areas of the ice, you always were aware because somebody could step up and hit you.
And certain guys being on the ice against you, too.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's another thing. Tom Wilson's got this reputation of being someone that, like, he's changed his game to an extent because I don't remember the last time he was in the news for a big hit or a crazy fighter. Like, obviously, it was the Panarin Rangers thing last year. But
right.
This year, I don't recall hearing him doing anything crazy. I could be wrong. I don't see him play every night. But, like, that's a hit that should be celebrated. I'm celebrating that as a hockey fan. It's a great hit. And,
yeah.
You know, you got him shoulder to chest. You want to cut across the middle, man. It's still a big boy game.
Yeah. Scotty Stevens back in the day was on the ice. You cut across the middle, your life's in your own hands, man.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And chances are he was going to be out there because he's playing 30 minutes. So,
wow.
Watch
yeah, that was something
nah,
else.
He had some awful hits. Like, in retrospect, clearly Stevens, based on today's standards.
Oh, my God. That Paul Kariya hit, he would have got a lifetime suspension.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are some. There are some.
The really bad Lindros hit was an elbow to the head. You know,
yes.
But
and
Eric
3 seconds late.
And late, yes. You know, there were a number of them you could look at for sure. That just it was they're playing by different rules.
Right.
But, you know, even there, the Bruin, he cuts back up ice. You know, not only does he cut into the middle of the ice, it's like he cuts in and up, and Wilson's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want Tom Wilson to do? Miss that hit? No chance. Lay
it. Right. Yeah. No, so. You got to take that hit. You have to. And the thing is it's a timing issue because if the kid, you know, tries to spin out or, you know, head is contacted, like there's, if you ill-time that, you could, that's where you get yourself in trouble.
Exactly.
That's where.
Yeah,
you know?
He moves at the last second, and Wilson gets his elbow up instinctively. Then you're talking 20 games
again, right?
Because
right.
It's him. Like that's the thing about what Tom Wilson's dealing with right now. Now, self-inflicted, he's put himself in this spot, but no one's breaking down the tape more, or no one's having a hit broken down more than Tom Wilson, and
right.
No one will have the benefit of the doubt less than Tom Wilson.
Right.
Where other guys in the league that aren't on the books to the same extent don't have to deal with that.